We are His. That song has a powerful revelation behind it. That if you leave me now, where will I go? Where will I stand? Said, you are my anchor for life. I am your own. Anytime our pastor is doing deliverance, you say, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. They say, Satan hates to hear that. This morning, briefly, we are looking at something interesting. Our last Bible study episode was, who can remind me of our last topic? Let me see the good students in our Bible class. What was the last topic? Okay, we have people at the choir stand, coordinator. So the choristers are following us more than every other person. What was the last topic we treated in Bible study?
The witnesses for the rapture.
The witnesses for the rapture. God bless you, sister. The witnesses for the rapture. If you missed that, you can visit our message stand and get it. Or visit our message archives on the website and download it. It will help you, to strengthen you. The Bible says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It means that the rapture also has witnesses. The witnesses for the rapture. Today we'll be looking at something similar. Don't forget that the stories in the Bible are written for our admonition. I always say it, that the Bible is not just an historical book. It's not an historical literature. It's not an historical book. The Bible is prophetic. The Bible, the Word of God says that all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So nothing in this Bible is written down for writing's sake or for record purposes only. Even Songs of Solomon. Some people will read Songs of Solomon and be wondering, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Like, what is here? There are mighty revelations in the book of the Songs of Solomon. It's a love story between the bridegroom and the bride. And there are even lessons for married couple in the book of the Songs of Solomon. So nothing in the Bible is written by accident. Nothing in the Bible is written by mistake. And if you also come to the New Testament, everything written in the New Testament is the foundation for the church of Christ. Praise God. That is why when we hear people say that the Apostle Paul made a mistake, Apostle Paul made a mistake. When we hear things like that, it is very, very, it is insultive to the personality of the Holy Ghost. If you start, Apostle Paul made a mistake, you are, in as much, you are telling me that the Bible is a mistake. You are telling me that the Holy Ghost made a mistake. So the Bible is not a historical literature only. It is prophetic and it is a living book. Amen. Today we are looking at what I titled The Prophetic End Time Generations. The Prophetic End Time Generations. And that is picked from the book of Luke. The Gospel of Luke from chapter 17, verse 20 to verse 30. Luke 17 from verse 20 to verse 30. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, yeah, or lo, yeah. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, let me explain what we are reading. They asked him when the kingdom of God should come. And he answered them that the kingdom of God is not coming by any physical manifestation. Now, there are two things that we'll pick out, but let's complete our reading before I explain that. Jesus was telling them that the kingdom of God you people are expecting, you Jews, it has come already, but this time it is spiritual. But they were expecting the physical kingdom. Then he began to say unto them, the days will come when you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they shall say to you, see there or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lightened out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now, he's talking about his second coming. He's coming. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Okay? And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Next verse. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given a marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So today we are looking at what we've titled the prophetic end time generations. Talking about his coming, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us two generations to watch. He gave us the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Somebody, are you with me? Talking about his coming, he didn't say, as it was in the days of Abraham, so will it be when the Son of Man is coming. He didn't say, as it was in the days of Isaac, so will it be when the Son of Man is coming. He didn't even say, as it was in the days of Moses. He was specific. Put our album cover, still leave our theme there. Let's let it sink deep. He was very specific. He said, as it was in the days of who? In the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Somebody shout hallelujah. This lets us know that these two generations were prophetic end time generations. Are you with me? Jesus is giving signs of his coming. He said, these are the signs of my coming. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when I'll be coming again. As it was in the days of Lot, so will it be when I'll be coming again. So the generation of Noah and the generation of Lot, they are prophetic end time generations. When you say something is prophetic, what does it mean? It's speaking of the future. It's a prophecy in advance. It's a prophecy. Are you with me? Do you understand me? When you say something is prophetic, you understand what the prophecy is. God says the Lord. So and so thing will happen. That's the prophecy. So when he says, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so will it be when the Son of Man will come again, when the Son of Man will be revealed. It lets you to know that the days of Noah and the days of Lot are a prophecy. If you are looking for how it will be when Jesus will come again, you don't need to go too far. Look at the generation of Noah and look at the generation of Lot. Then you understand how it will be when Christ will come again. That is what the Bible is saying. If you should look at Psalm 74 and verse 9. Now you may open the screen. Psalm 74 and verse 9. There's something we must note in the Bible. Psalm 74 verse 9. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. Our God is a God that leaves signs for his people or prophecies to guide them. Do you know that in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans? But do you know that no Christian was caught in that destruction? Why is it so? In Matthew 24, the Bible says Jesus was at the temple and the disciples called his attention. Master, see the beautiful stones of this temple. And he began to prophesy. He says, see ye all these things. There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be broken down. And they asked him, when will all these things be? Thank you. He gave them signs. He says, when you see Jerusalem compassed about by armies, know that the time of the desolation is near. Then he says, you that are the housetop, run away. You that are in the field, don't come back. Do you know that this thing happened exactly as the Lord Jesus prophesied? And no disciple of Christ was caught up in that destruction. Why? He gave them signs. He gave them signs. So also it is in the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord Jesus cannot take a true Christian by surprise. No. You cannot be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say he's coming, we take you by surprise. It can't happen. Are you with me? I'm trying to pass an understanding to us. The coming of Christ cannot take you by surprise. Just as no bride can be taken surprisingly on a wedding day. If we are the bride, we must know when he's coming. Now, of course, there might be issues like the Lord Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. But what about the season? You will know the season. Praise the living God. You will know the season. So the coming of Christ cannot take us by surprise because we have signs to watch. Part of the signs to watch are the prophetic end time generations. The generation of Noah and the generation of Lot. There are things that transpired. There are events that occurred in these two generations that corresponds with what will happen when the Lord will come again. When we study these two generations, there are things we can pick. There are things that we can learn from them. There are things that we will see that are happening also in our own generation, which gives us a certainty of the coming of Christ. If you are with me, shout hallelujah. But that hallelujah is very low. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. When you're in the church, forget about the worldly economy and society. Forget about who you will vote for next year. You have already voted for Jesus. Our kingdom is not of this world. So be heavenly minded when you're in the church. Stop thinking of your political leaders that you want to vote and change. Praise the Lord. So these two generations, there are things in them that point to the coming of the Lord. There are events that occurred in them that are also occurring in our generation. And if judgment occurred because of things that happened in the days of Noah, if judgment occurred because of things that happened in the day of Lot, then it lets you know also that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and will not delay by 1 second. Somebody shout hallelujah. I want you to know something, Christians. Christ is not delaying his coming. There is an agenda, there is a timetable, there is something he's watching out. When we were in school, we had a timetable. You know that after this class, the next class we are supposed to have, Monday morning, after biology, we have physics. Even the time of physics, mathematics teacher should come. Everybody will ask questions. Sir, we are not having your class now. There are some stubborn students that will speak up. Please, sir, we are not having your class now. We are supposed to have physics. Amen. So also it is with the coming of Christ. Jesus is not delayed. No. When it is time for him to come, he will come exactly to that time. Somebody say amen. Now, let's begin to look at the generation of Noah and the generation of Lot. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Let's start with the generation of Noah. Noah lived at the end time of his own generation. He saw the end time. He lived at the end time of his generation. So let's pick it from verse 1. Genesis 6 from verse 1. If Noah lived at his own end time, and Jesus said that as it was in his days, so will it be also when the Son of Man will be revealed. So let us look at the things that the Bible records about the day of Noah so that we can see whether they are already fulfilling in our own day or not. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise the living God. Let's stop there. Now let's pick out events that occurred in the days of Noah. The first thing I see is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass when men began to multiply. Verse 1. When men did what? Began to multiply. That means in the days of Noah, there was an increase in population. The first item we are picking from there is what? The same thing is happening today. It is prophetic of the end time generation. There is increase in the population of mankind today. Are you with me? The Bible said men multiply. Do you know that men have been multiplying in a very, very serious manner since the 19, since the 20th century, the 1900s came on. Praise God. In the days of Noah, one of the events that led to the end of that generation was an increase in population. Men began to multiply. Brothers and sisters, men are multiplying in a very increasing and alarming rate today. Let's look at the world's population census for the past 100 years or so. What you just showed on the screen, let's have it. So that we understand what we are saying. In 1800, the population of the world was what? 1 billion. What census? In 1950, it rose to what? 2 billion. Are you seeing it? Now, from 1950 till today, see how population is increasing. 1987, how many billion? Are you with me? Should I put naira or dollars so that the response will be more? 1987, how many billion dollars? You see what I'm saying? 1990, how many billion? Just within 3 years. That's what you call the baby boomer generation, if I'm not mistaken. In the 21st century, the new millennium, what do we see? 6.1 billion. Today, what are we seeing? 7.9 billion. And by 2030, it is estimated that the world's population will cross 8 billion. It's a fact. It is an end time sign. Praise God. It is an end time sign. Because population is increasing. If population is increasing, sin will also increase. Praise God. If there was one fornicator among 10 people, when they become 20, you are expected to find 2. When they become 30, you are expected to find 3. When they become 40, you are expected to find 4. If you are going by that ratio. So increase in the population of mankind is an end time sign. It happened in the days of Noah. The Bible said men began to multiply on the face of the earth. The same thing is happening in this generation. Men are multiplying on the face of the earth. Mankind is increasing in number. Lagos State alone. What's the population of Lagos State? Anybody? We have nothing less than 20 million people in Lagos. And please, do you know, these are the counted ones alone. There are a lot of people. In the last census, how many of us were counted? In the last census conducted in Nigeria, how many of us were counted? Not many hands are up. I was not counted. So I'm not part of the 7.9 billion. Only God knows how many people more were not counted. In the jungles in Africa, in the mountains in Asia, how many more millions or billions were not counted? But something is certain. Mankind is increasing in population, and it is a sign, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also when the Son of Man will come. And the increase became alarming. You saw it from 1950. It was increasing. If by 1900 it was 1 billion, less than 2 billion rather, and in 1950 it was 2 billion. 1950 to today is how many years? 60-something years. So within 60-something years, we move from 2 billion to 7.9 billion on the surface of the earth. Are you with me? No, the Bible is practical. If all churches were teaching this, there will be more Christians that are ready for rapture. From 1950 till now, that's an increase of 5.9 billion. From 2 billion to 7.9 billion. From 1950 to now, less than 70 years. So if the world will tarry another 70 years, how many more? I saw a headline during the week. I don't know how valid it is. That India has surpassed China in population. I don't know how valid it is. I didn't read that article. India has surpassed China in population. Because the Chinese, they have a policy of not more than one child. Is it one or two now? Now imagine that policy is removed from China. We'll not be talking of 7.9 billion again. They know how populated they are. Then the wicked communist government enacted a law. Not more than one child. And I don't know if it has increased to two as at now. But another thing, another headline I saw in China, there are no more women to marry. So if they will relax all these laws, population would increase. Praise God. It is an end time sign. It happened in the days of Noah. It will happen. It's happening already in our generation. It is to let you know that truly judgment is coming. And before judgment comes, the bride is gone in the rapture. Say hallelujah. Another thing we see in the days of Noah. Go back. Genesis chapter 6 verse 1 and 2. Let's read it again. There's something interesting. Genesis 6 verse 1 and 2. There's an end time sign in this. And men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Now, verse 2 is my emphasis. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men. That they were what? They were what? Increase in artificial beauty of women. It's an end time sign. The sons of God, which is the lineage of Seth. Hope you know the sons of God are not angels. If you have swallowed any erroneous teaching that says that the sons of God are fallen angels, it's not possible. Angels are spirits. The nature of angels is different from the nature of man. Angels have been tested. Before God created man, he had done testing angels. Praise God. So no angel can rebel against God again. They already have eternal life. The ones that sinned are already fallen angels. They don't have eternal life anymore. These sons of God are the spiritual lineage of Seth. The daughters of men were the lineage of Cain. He said the daughters of men were what? They were fair. Brothers and sisters, the picture we see in that is an increase in artificial beauty. This generation is the generation of sexiness. One of the most popular and common words in the English dictionary today is what? Sexy. Sexy. You are sexy. You look sexy. You look tom-tom. You look takeaway. Women are no longer abiding with the natural beauty God has given them. The cosmetic industry is one of the highest rated industry in the world today. Fashion and beauty is serious business. I've seen some makeup. I saw a video, just how many seconds video? One ugly looking mama with very, very fine Ogbomoso tribal marks. By the time they finished the makeup, hey, Holy Spirit of God, it is nothing short of transformation. Increase in artificial, it happened in the days of Noah. It is, women are increasing. Men of God. Okay, that one is makeover, not even makeup. Let's think of 40, 30, 50 years ago. How were women attired? There's a picture I always see where they will show women. They'll say, see how women dress before Satan became the tailor. They'll say, see how women dressed before Satan became the tailor. Mommy, in your own generation, when you were a CC, how did women dress? Were they naked or semi-naked?
Oh, no. You can't see that.
We are not talking of Christian women, though. We are saying women. Today, the average woman dresses herself in a naked way. Sexy is the language. If you are not looking sexy, you are not dressing properly. Such that even in the church, you tell sisters, dress saintly. I always say it, even in bride assembly. We say, don't wear trousers. Share a skirt. Then you wear a skirt that has an adjective called sexy attached to it. There's a picture I want us to show. The roaring 20s or roaring 30s. A picture of how worldly women dressed. I don't know if that picture is still available. Please show it. How women dressed in time past. These are worldly women. These are not Christians, so. This is what they call the roaring 20s. These are how women dressed. I mean celebrities, worldly women. This was how they dressed in that generation. Brothers, is there anything lustful or sexy about their look? Please,
I repeat, these are not Christians. These are, I mean, worldly women. They were coming from party. See how they dressed. You can see how modest and covered they are. If you have Kim Kardashian's picture, you can show us. Kim Kardashian or Beyonce, if you have a picture, show us. Compare that with this. Oh, I beg, please. I plead the blood of Jesus. I beg. Compare that with the celebrities of today. And you know, celebrities dictate the fashion. Praise God. Celebrities dictate the fashion. If women in the 20s and 30s dressed the way we saw, show that picture again. The roaring 20s. If celebrities dressed this way, it lets me know that in this generation, see how they dress now, come on. These people are betterly dressed than many Christian women today. And these are worldly people coming from a party or going to a party. See the women among them. See them now. Skirts. The skirt is not even above the knee. Is the clothes fitted? Is it fitted? They will not, a Christian woman will not tell you it's sexy or tight. They say it's fitted. It's fitted. You have a worldly spirit on you if you dress that way. Nothing should ever cause a woman to dress and her shape is showing. It is worldliness. No sanctified and Holy Ghost-filled daughter of God will dress herself in a way where your shape and your curves are showing. It is reserved for your husband alone. Keep it. You're not a public toilet. Praise God. So increase in artificial beauty. You can see the celebrities of today. Flash that picture again of Kim Kardashian. But before you flash it, I plead the blood of Jesus. Flash it again. This one is even okay. There are worse than what we just saw. Praise God. Increase in artificial beauty. That is why the world is saturated with lust and immorality today. If you are walking on the street of Lagos, in fact, any city, if you are walking out today, you must, if your mind is not on the cross, you will see what will make you see. You know what I'm saying? Brothers, when you are going for your business in the morning, you know what I mean? See how our women dress today. Our mothers did not dress that way. Praise God. In the olden days in Africa, it was bead that was their beauty. They put bead. Praise God. Today, a woman will dress and her front is completely opened. Some will wear scandal skirts. A woman will dress and you can see her laps. Well, that's for the world. But no Holy Ghost-filled sister will ever dress that way. So increase in the artificial beauty is also an end time sign. For the past 50 years, people are always talking about trouser. It was not always so from the beginning. Trouser was never an issue because women did not wear trousers. In the Western world, women did not wear trousers. The origin of trouser can be traced. Before World War II, some foolish and crazy celebrities were wearing it as fashion. But it was not in vogue. It was during World War II when men in countries like America and in Western Europe went to war. Women started taking jobs that belonged to men. It started with wearing overalls. Then before you know it, trousers became a norm for women. Praise the Lord. Increase in artificial beauty. Today we have padded breast and padded pant or whatever you call it. Why would a woman not want to look in a natural way that God has created her to be? Why artificial? Plastic surgery is on the increase today. Brazilian bum bum lifts. You don't like the bum bum you have. You want a makeover, not makeup, as Brother Peter just said. Then a woman will subject herself. They will remove fats from some part of her body and pump it somewhere else. And several women are dying because of plastic surgery. It's an end time sign. Christian women, be neat and modest. Sexy is not Holy Ghost fashion. Sexy is not Holy Ghost way. Any man that is attracted to you because of your body. I'm a man and I'm married. If the attraction your husband has to you is because of your body, when he satisfies, he's lost. He will be attracted to another person. It's not physical beauty that keeps a man. It's not physical beauty that keeps a man. I think the single sisters need to hear this more. So focus on the inner beauty. Focus on the inner beauty and stop. You wear your eye ill. You wear something that will make everybody see your distance. And when a woman is walking, she's not standing up straight. She's walking away. Physical beauty does not keep a man. If any man is attracted to you because of physical beauty, he will leave you and cheat on you because of another physical beauty. The Bible says the eye is not satisfied with seeing. It's Proverbs. Let me leave it there. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. I think brothers understand what I mean. Praise God. Increase in beauty of women. You saw it. Now let's move on. Genesis 6, 2 again. Another point. Genesis chapter 6 verse 2. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and there was a marriage. They took them wives of all which they chose. Brothers and sisters, that marriage speaks of what? The marriage between the church and the world today. Don't forget that the sons of God were the spiritual people, and the daughters of men were the carnal ones. It speaks of a marriage between the church, who are supposed to be separated, and who the world. The marriage of the sons of God and daughters of men is speaking of worldliness in the church. Praise God. Even when the Catholic Church was protested, the evangelicals, the orthodox, all these churches believe in holiness. It was until the last century, with the coming of the Pentecostals and the charismatic, that Christianity became watered down. And today, the church is married to the world. Praise God. When a church will celebrate that their member came second runner up, first runner up for Miss World, that lets you know that that church is married to the world. In this generation, the church is worldly and the world is churchy. Praise God. People go to the church and still belong to the world. People hold positions and titles in the church and are still chairmen in the world. The world has married the church today. That is what we see. I will never forget an experience I had. I was in the barber salon some time ago, waiting for my turn, and at the saloon, it was comedy they were playing, like all this, your Night of a Thousand Laughs, AY Life, something like that. I don't know which particular one. Stand-up comedy. And you know that in these comedians, in these settings, they say very vulgar things. They say very vulgar things. You hear all manner of things. You know, they use immorality to joke. Things that Christians ought not to hear. Then he got to the point of another comedian. He came. He started with worship song. Now, it was not just him singing worship songs that startled me. What amazed me the most was that the whole congregation of worldliness was responding. When he sang, he was making joke of it, though. Like somebody, then he sang, "When you come to collect your people," everybody responded. What does that tell us? They all belong to one church or the other. They are all Christians. Then when he finished the worship, then he first made a joke with the songs he sang and then entered into very dirty and vulgar things. The same people that sang "Remember Me, O Lord," they were the same ones laughing, you know, frolicking when he made jokes. They were all happy. The world is married to the church. Churches today have football club. Eh? Churches, MFM has a football club. One day I saw one of their players in the bank, MFM FC, with tattoo. I said, so, can you see something? This is a player in this football club that is owned by a church. But see him, tattoo is even the club name that he tattooed on his body. Churches will bring comedians to their podium, not their pulpit. Laugh for Jesus. And they will say things and everybody will laugh. They will make jest of people and everybody will laugh. It is a sign of worldliness. The sons of God have married the daughters of men. Such that they see you strange if you don't practice what they practice. Churches today, there is so much fashion spirit in some churches that sometimes it's the church that dictates the fashion for the world. Church has married the world. Pastors today will leave their pulpits and contest for political offices. So you have left the fivefold. And to make things worse, they will tell you, God said, I will be the next president of Nigeria. I don't call any name. Pastors. And as if that is not enough, their members will still be fighting for them. Even after they lose the election and fail, I thought the church will reduce. Because it's clearly he has given a false prophecy. But the church will not reduce. Service continues. They still give their tithe and offering. Mumu Christianity. That's what we see today. The church has married the world. There's a marriage of covenants between the world and the church. The sons of God have mingled with the daughters of men. Praise God. The average Christian church today is not spiritual. It's carnal and worldly. What do churches preach and teach? How many churches will point you to the right way to heaven? This is 9:45, if I'm not mistaken. Some churches have about 2 or 3 services. 5 keys to your success. 5 keys to favor. So it is a marriage. It is an end time sign. The Lord prophet. It happened in the days of Noah. It's happening today. Let's move on. Verse 4. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Another sign I want us to bring out. Genesis 6, 4. And the Lord said, okay, there were giants. There were what? Giants in the earth in those. Okay, go back to verse 3. Let me bring out something in verse 3. It's not part of the point, but I want to make something clear. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. Yet, his days shall be 120 years. Now, many people misunderstand that verse. It is not saying that the lifespan of man will reduce to 120. No. Because after that, men lived more than 120. Abraham lived to 170. Isaac, 180 something or so. Jacob, 137. Even in our generation, some of us have had people that lived beyond 120. That is not the meaning. He's saying his days shall be 120 years. That means he has 120 years left. He's telling you that in 120 years' time, I will destroy them. It is a timetable for judgment. It was a timetable for the flood. That means I will not always strive with him. In 120 years' time, I will wipe him out. It was after that pronouncement that God found Noah and gave Noah the formula for salvation, how he could escape the flood. So 120 years in that setting is not speaking of age or lifespan of man. It's speaking of time for judgment. Just like in our own generation, he said, after 2 days, I will revive them. So God tore away Israel for 2 days. And within those 2 days, he's dealing with the Gentiles. So we can as well say that the Gentiles have 2 days or 7 church ages. In Noah's time, they'll say the men had what? 120 years. He's not speaking of lifespan. Is that clear? Now, verse 4 says there were giants in the earth. Let's read it. Verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, the origin of the giants is traced back to Cain. When Cain killed Abel and God passed judgment on him, Cain was like, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Anybody that sees me will slay me. I'm quoting Genesis 4. But the Bible said God placed a mark on Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Praise God. That mark that God placed on Cain was that God increased his size. God made him a giant. That was why no man could kill him. He was the progenitor of the giants. They came from him. It was not the sons of God and the daughters of men that produced giants. Read verse 4 again, Genesis 6. Read verse 4. It says, listen, this is English language. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in into the daughters of men, you can see that it's not the sons of God that produced giants. What the marriage of the sons of God and the daughters of men produced was what? Mighty men of old, men of renown. Mighty can be mighty in power, mighty intellectually, but the giants were from the lineage of Cain. We have giants in the earth today also, but we don't have physical giants. We have intellectual giants. Are you with me? If you are with me, say hallelujah. Some people are not following us. If you are lost, say amen. You are lost, ma. Somebody said amen. We have intellectual giants in the earth today. For you to know, it's because we live in a third world country, Africa, Nigeria. What men have achieved today, how far men have gone in science and technology is marveling. That is why they can boldly say that there is no God. Men have advanced in science and technology to an alarming rate. We talk of artificial intelligence. Today, they are not more speaking of artificial intelligence. They are speaking of super artificial intelligence. That means man will create a robot, a computer that has the mind of its own. That computer can even choose to rebel against man. Before I became a Christian, I watched a film, iRobot. Did you watch it? iRobot is the title of the film. I'm not saying you can't watch any film, but please. But there are things that are shown in this film that you'll be wondering. In that film, they gave a picture of 2030 or 2035 where robots were living with man. Your servants are robots. They do everything for you. Then they were creating another type of robot, another model. But this time around, these ones will now rebel against man. Super artificial intelligence. Many of us use smartphones and we don't even know the powerful technology behind your smartphone. Google. Google is an oracle. In Yoruba language, they call Google Ifa. Praise God. Because there's nothing you will ask Google that Google will not tell you. But it is man that created it. Google, how can I do this? 10,000 results in 1 minute. Some of us just use it. You have not actually pondered behind the powerful technology behind some of these things. Now they are entering driverless cars. Cars without drivers. Man has gone to another world. Man has gone to the moon in this generation. Man has a robot presently in Mars, another planet that is millions of miles away from the earth. They are excavating Mars now, searching for traces of water. Because if they found a trace of water, it means that Mars can sustain life. Then what next? How can we move mankind to Mars, to colonize Mars? Elon Musk, the richest man in the world today. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, Richard, the CEO of Virgin, Richard Branson, if I'm not mistaken. They are all in what is called the space race. You know what they want to do? Just like you go to an amusement park, they want to start making money by taking people to space. They'll take you to space and bring you back. Maybe $25 million per ticket. Space race. Man is talking of colonizing the moon. Colonizing Mars, they have sent machines that have gone as far as to Jupiter and Pluto. They've not entered, but they've passed. So man is on earth today and can see the picture of Jupiter and Pluto, planets that are millions of miles away from man. There is something that they are experimenting with now underground in Switzerland. It's called CERN, C-E-R-N. This machine is very big, but do you know what they want to do? They are looking for what is called the God particle. You know, scientific language that some of us do not understand. They want to collide atoms, collide this, collide that. They believe that if they can do what they want to do, they will understand the creation of the universe. So these people don't even believe that there is a God that created the universe. You want to tell a scientist in the 21st century about God? One, your religion that tells you that the earth is 6,000 years old already knocks them off. Because by carbon dating, they know that this earth is over 4 billion years old. So they are dealing with facts. They are going far. If they can do what they want to do, they believe they can now know how the universe was formed. And they can now create whatever they want to create with that knowledge. That's what they are doing. But some people, some Christian brothers are saying that thing will open door to demons. Whatever it is, how far man has gone. How far man has gone. A single weapon called nuclear bomb can destroy more than the whole city of Lagos. How far man has gone. In the olden days, it was sword and arrow. Today, nobody needs to even come and they don't need to be shooting themselves when fighting war again. The most powerful countries today are the most technologically advanced countries because they are seated in the country and by a press of a button, they have released a nuclear weapon to your country and they have destroyed you. Intellectual giants. What about medical field? They are trying their best to get to a point. You know how far medical science has gone. A man and a woman does not need to carry belle, as we say, before she has a child today. Medical science. Just get her egg. From the lab, they can fertilize the egg with a sperm and the child will grow. They are talking about cloning man. What about communication? Turn on your WhatsApp now and make a video call. You'll be here in Lagos and you're speaking with somebody in Netherlands. Gone are the days where you write letter and you wait for 3 months or 6 months before your brother or sister in the other side of the world will receive the letter. Technological advancement. To make things worse, today they're not talking of what? Multiverse. They're talking of virtual reality. Virtual reality. That means they will give you one goggle to wear. And when you wear it, you are in another world. You wear that thing and it's like you're in another world. In that thing, you can see somebody coming to fight you. And when you remove it, you discover you're back to reality. Technological advancement, intellectual giants in the earth. We don't have physical giants, but we have strong men, intellectual giants who are giants in their brain. Giants in their brain. A rocket will take off and go to space, break through the gravitational force of the earth. Intellectual gigantism. Praise God. That is what we see. And finally, what we can pick from the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 and verse 11. If we don't finish this today, we'll finish next week, hopefully. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Go to verse 11. Verse 11, Genesis 6. The earth was what? Corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Increase in violence, wickedness, and corruption. It happened in the days of Noah, and it is happening in our generation. Terrorism, banditry, homicide and genocides everywhere. Even in witchcraft, wickedness, mankind is increasing. It is an end time sign. Gone are the days where everybody is at peace with his neighbor. Now everybody has his own form of defense and security. Violence in the earth. Kidnappers on the rise. Ritual killers on the rise. In Nigeria, what is raining now is Yahoo Plus. The economy is so tough on people that many youth cannot work again. Where is even the work? What they resort to now is what? Kill somebody and make money from it. Wickedness. corruption, what has left Nigeria the way it is today. When Pastor made that statement that in their own generation, a naira was $2. When I heard that, it pained me so much in my heart. That some time ago in Nigeria, a naira could be $2. A Nigerian could enter anywhere and you get visa on arrival. But today, corruption has finished us. And it's not just Nigeria. All over the world, there's violence, wickedness, and corruption. In America today, people no longer sleep with their eyes closed. Because a teenager, and it's among youths and teenagers, a teenager can just walk into a church and shoot people and go. That's what's going on in America today. Gun violence. Gun violence is what is going on. A boy will go to a primary school and kill students. In primary school, in secondary school, and kill students. That's what's going on. It's an end time sign. Increase in corruption, increase in wickedness and violence. That is what we see in the world today. Briefly, let's also look at the generation of Lot. You can pick those five things from generation of Noah. The generation of Lot, what do we see? The story of Lot is seen in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Let's read from verse 1. Genesis chapter 19 from verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. Don't forget that the Lord said, as it was in the days of Lot. So that means it's also a prophetic end time generation. As it was, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my Lot, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet. And you will rise up early and go your ways. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them gently, and they turned in unto him. And he entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them, that we may sleep with them. And Lot went out at the dawn to them and shut the door after him. And he said what? I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. The Bible says homosexuality is what? Wicked. Behold, now. Now, see, pick something from this verse we want to read. I have two daughters which are virgins. I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. Do to them what is good in your eyes. But unto these men, do nothing, for they came under the shadow of my roof. What did the men do? They said, stand back, John. And they said again, see this one, though. You came to sojourn among us, and you want to judge us, Abi. You are judging us, Abi. You are saying we are doing wickedly. You are judging us. Eh? You are judging me. Don't judge me. We will deal what we did and with them. And they pressed so upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But thank God for the angels. But the men put forth their hand and put Lot into the door, into the house, and shut the door to them. Amen. Let's understand something. Lot, the angels came to Sodom. Lot, knowing the wickedness in the land, offered them shelter for that night. But the men of Sodom came out and still demanded that he brings out those two men. Praise God. See how painful it was to Lot that Lot even sacrificed his two virgin daughters. Some of us have not read that in that story. Those women were, the Bible said they have not known man. And he offered them to these wicked people. Did they accept? But brothers and sisters, when we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, the first thing that comes to your mind is homosexuality. But there is something before homosexuality. Before a society will be completely wrapped up and subdued and conquered with the spirit of homosexuality, it shows that fornication has reached the highest peak in that society. You understand me? Before you talk of homosexuality, it means that they are finished with fornication. They have seen fornication, finished it, drank it. It is nothing to them again. For a man to even offer two virgin women to them and they rejected it, it means that that society had completely finished with fornication. So the first sign in the days of Lot was what? Increase in sexual sex. Increase in fornication. Casual sex becomes normal. Even Lot said, oh, take my daughters. Casual sex became normal. Brothers and sisters, what are we seeing in our own generation? Even in the church. Even in the church. Brother, sister, now only yourself you know. Don't know the person beside you. Even in the church, fornication is practiced. So it was a sign in the days of Noah. Casual sex becomes normal. Today you have things like what they call one night stand. Strangers will see themselves and sleep together. Fornication is no longer a big deal. It's no longer a big deal. It's not. I mean, it's not a big deal. Because even the songs and the films that are done today are promoting fornication. So it's not a big deal. The songs we watch, the songs that are sung today, what do they sing about? It's fornication. One day, I saw this thing they call TikTok. Let me download it and see exactly what it is. Let me have an idea. And I downloaded TikTok because I was waiting for something. And I downloaded it and I installed it. And I was watching the funny videos. Brothers and sisters, over 90% of the videos I saw were immoral things. People are making joke of immoral things, fornication. It's no longer a big deal that somebody commits fornication again. In those days, if a Christian should fall into fornication, for 3 years, he has not recovered. He's still weeping every night. For 3 years, he has not recovered. Church, a Christian will go to mountain, can spend 40 days praying for mercy. But today is not a big deal. Let me not call the name of a church. I know of one brother, one sister that told me why she was in a particular church. She was a minister, and even their president too was her boyfriend. They will fornicate together, and in midnight, they will stand up from the bed and be speaking in tongues. That is what is practiced. Eh? That's even amongst us. Brother is not ready for marriage and is booking sister down. And this is my fiance. You are not ready for marriage, oh. This is my wife too. Before you know it, we are no more doing. You are seeing brother with another sister. Before you know it, you are seeing brother doesn't have a house, oh. He doesn't have, he's squatting. Look, before God will settle you maritally, he will settle you financially. Don't jump ahead. You are opening the door to lust. Wait for your time. Your prayer should be, Father, give me the means to settle down. Settle me financially so that I can settle down maritally. Then the foolish and gullible sister will be attaching herself. The brother is not working, doesn't have a house, nothing, and you are is my fiance. They are getting married. You people are together. 6 months has passed. 1 year has passed. 2 years has passed. Seize the relationship first and put things right first. Days of Lot, it was fornication everywhere. Casual sex was normal. Because he offered them two girls that were virgins and they rejected. It means that that society had finished drinking the cup of fornication. There was not one drop left. That's what we see. And it is the same thing today. It's not just before homosexuality we take its roots in a society. That society must have been very perverse with fornication. Before homosexuality we take its roots. Homosexuality is only an advanced level of fornication. If you're a chronic fornicator, it's not a prophecy. Soon the spirit dealing with you will make you homosexual. Better go and seek deliverance and ask God to save you. If you are a chronic fornicator, soon the spirit that is causing you to do that will lead you to homosexuality. Because when you cannot derive pleasure in it anymore, you change. Because that is it with drugs. When you are used to a particular level, You want to go higher, more doses. Is that right? Those that take our drugs, when their system is already familiar, they have reached an equilibrium. That one cannot move them again. Even drunkards, now you can take 5 bottles of beer, it doesn't move you. For you to be drunk, you must go beyond the 5 bottles. So it is with fornication. You get to a level where you seek advancement. And the next advancement is homosexuality or bestiality. Man with animals. It is happening in our generation. Increase in fornication. It is terrible in this day. Both in the church and outside the church. That's what we see. These are the generations where somebody will go to a pastor for prayer. And the story will change from give your life to Christ to meet me in the hotel. And the same person will do deliverance for you and pray for you and you receive healing. Increase in fornication. It is an end time sign. The next thing is what? Homosexuality itself. In the whole society. In Sodom, it was not just a few people. From the story in the book of Genesis, we can see that it was the whole society that was involved in homosexuality. More than 24 countries today have legalized gay marriage. And many more countries don't have a law for it or against it. Thank God in Nigeria, it is 14 years imprisonment if they find you doing it. But regardless of that, don't we have them in Nigeria? An end time sign that we see in the days of Lot is that the society will become perverse with homosexuality. Men will no longer be attracted to women. Women will no longer be attracted to men. It will be man to man and woman to woman. That is what we are seeing in this generation. And I pity women that are training their children by watching cartoon. God said you should parent and train your children. You have left them to TV. Many cartoons now are propagating homosexuality. Many cartoons. They've left teenage sex and kissing. It's now homosexuality. Many cartoons. Your popular Disney channel, where your children feed from, Nickelodeon, Disney, there are cartoons now that speak of homosexuality. Comic heroes who are gay, and they are including the stories in these cartoons. That is what we see. We are still safe in this part of the world. Go to America. A baker, a Christian baker was sued. They sued a Christian baker because he said he's not going to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple. They know he's a Christian baker. They intentionally targeted him and they came to him. I don't know if the case is still in court. America. Because he said his religion forbids him to do so. Homosexuality in the whole society. Brothers and sisters, a popular senator who was once a popular senator in Nigeria, during the last presidential election, I read it on news, he was campaigning. This man said, if he becomes president, he will legalize homosexuality in Nigeria. He said, I read it. Let me not call his name. I read it, he said it. So if such should come into power, what do you think they will do? If they make it legal in Nigeria, brothers, you'll be surprised what you will see. The whole society is giving in to homosexuality. It is an end time sign. It's worse in the days of law. And the last sign is what? Not only is homosexuality increasing, homosexuals are having more rights than normal people. That's the third point. They're now having more rights than normal people. There is something called pride, the pride march. I don't know how many of us know about it. Homosexuals are now having more rights. Go to America, go to Netherlands today and speak against homosexuality and gay marriage. You might end up in jail for that. They're having more rights than normal people. They are teaching children in the Western world not to see it as a bad thing. Embrace your gender, you know. Then a child will come and tell you, I feel I'm not a boy. A child will tell you, I feel I'm a girl. I feel I'm a girl trapped in a boy's body. Homosexuality is an end time sign and they are having more rights. There's a video. I don't know if you can play the video of the Pride March. I want you to see what is going on in the world. Just a minute video. If you can play it. These are people, carnivals for homosexuality in the Western world. Can you see it? All these people are in support. They call it the Pride March. Regularly, they come out, you know, they have their flag. All this is to legalize homosexuality. This is Pride March. This is what they are celebrating. That is what they are promoting with this carnival. Homosexuality. That is what they are promoting. That is what they are promoting with this video you are watching. It's called Pride. That's their nickname. You can Google it later or watch YouTube about watch it on YouTube. Pride March. Every year, each different countries have a day for their own. They celebrate it. Be proud of who you are. You are gay. Now, these are things we can see from the days of Noah and the days of Lot. But the story does not end here. Hopefully, God willing, when we come next week, we will see what happened to Noah and what happened to Lot. God will never leave himself without a witness. The whole society was corrupt, but there was one Noah that found grace in the eyes of God. The whole society was corrupt, but there was one brother Lot and his daughters that came out of Sodom. So by the grace of God, when we come back next time, we are going to see what the Holy Ghost will show us from the story of Noah and the story of Lot. What was the grace that Noah received? And how did Noah become righteous? Or what made Lot righteous? When next you come, we look into that. Can we put our hands together for the Lord Jesus?